You are listening to Pacific Beer Chat. We are a collective of West Coast beer bloggers sharing our opinions on events, issues, and well-crafted brews. We discuss both local and international issues and aim to educate and entertain. We are a part of the Hopped Up Network.
For this episode, we sit down to a trio of beers from China. Before we get started, here is a word from the Hopped Up Network.
Hey, this is The Voice. I'm here interrupting one of your favorite podcasts to tell you all about mine. If you're a fan of craft beer, independent music, pop culture, and laughing at inappropriate things, then you should check out Drunken Lullabies, brought to you by Distilled Brewery. New episodes are available on draft every Sunday, so you can spend the Sabbath getting tipsy along with us. We try beers, play songs, and laugh our asses off. So go on, indulge yourself, and become a part of Drunkomaniac Nation. And if craft beer and music aren't your thing, you can listen to Drunk at the Movies every Wednesday, brought to you by Iron Spike Brewing Company. Listen to me and my friends provide our own alcohol-fueled commentary tracks to some of our favorite movies, unedited and uncensored. You don't have to be drunk to enjoy these movies, but it doesn't hurt. Until next time, this is The Voice saying, may your music be loud, and may your beers be cold.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. This is Mike.
I'm Steven.
So this episode's going to be a little different. These beers aren't coming from even North America. They're coming from China. Me and my wife went there about a month ago, and it was hard to find craft beer when I was there. It was mostly just really, really crappy macro lagers, and I don't mean macro lagers are all crappy, which I do agree with, but these were next level bad for the most part. They're not cold stored. They're just not treated all that well. But I finally found some craft beer while I was there. And these ones are from Boxing Cat Brewery. They're from Shanghai. I've got the Right Hook Hellas, the Contender Extra Pale Ale, and the TKO IPA. Everything else on the label basically is in Chinese. I can't read it. I'm not sure what it's trying to say. I do know that this brewery was bought out by AB InBev a couple years ago. I know some people will get all up in arms about that. And I mean, when you talk to people in China, it sounds like they're making great beer still. So I just say, who cares? So why don't we crack open the Right Hook Hellas? Well, I'm opening up too. I'll just say we were there for 10 days, I think it was. And out of that whole time, I saw one store selling craft beer that was open and one store that was closed selling craft beer. You have to hunt down craft beer in China. It's just a new thing for them still. Just like most of Asia, it seems, macro lager is king. So, Steve, why don't you get the first pour of this Hellas Lager? Probably one of the first lagers on the show.
No, we did a whole bunch of lagers when we did my trip beer, remember?
Oh, that's right, yes. The first lager I've ever brought on the show.
Fair enough. That is true. Also, I might get you to steam off those labels. They're going to be really good practice for me learning the characters.
I will just give you the bottles afterward if you like.
Fair enough. I'll take that too. I mean, to be fair, I'm learning Japanese, not Chinese, but the Japanese stole pretty much all their kanji characters, so still good practice.
Yeah, when I was in China, they definitely said that the languages are very similar.
Written, yeah.
Yeah. So this is a Hellas Lager, like we said. It's 4.5% alcohol. And then there's a bunch of Chinese characters that I can't read. There's definitely a thing saying don't drink and drive, and pregnant women shouldn't drink. But that's all I'm getting. Actually, there's some wheels on the side here that say body, maltiness, hops, aroma. The body is about a third of the wheel. Hops are about less than a quarter. Maltiness is about the same as the body, about a third of the wheel, and so is aroma. So it's not quite clear. It's a little hazy yellow, white head.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a Hellas. So I'll give it that.
Although Hellas are usually a little clearer, aren't they?
Yeah.
Actually, I think mine's a little hazier than yours.
It is. Mine's clearer.
Yeah, so I've got a little bit more sediment in mine.
Yeah, so clearly there was a little bit of dropout or fallout. I'm not sure what that would have been, if that's just bad clarification or intentional, but...
I'm not sure how old this bottle is either, so... I mean, like I said, it was really hard to find these. I found these on my last day going through a supermarket that I didn't even know it was there, and we were there for 2 days beforehand. It was kind of hidden.
It's got sort of a barn aroma, which is very, very pleasant. It's got smell like a little bit like fresh hay, barn floor.
I'm getting some definite like citrus notes.
Yeah, there are definitely some citrus little hints in there.
It's just ever so slightly floral.
Not following you there, but
I'm okay with it. That's okay.
That's actually really tasty.
It's really light.
It's very light.
Which is on point for Hell's Lager, really.
Yeah.
A little tiny bit of grain or something in there.
Yeah.
Citrusy.
Yeah, I'm getting grain, malt, little citrus, really sort of rounded mouth flavor with sort of medium carbonation.
I'm pretty impressed for a beer that is so light. I don't really taste any off flavors.
No. There's a touch of citrus in there.
Yeah. I mean, and I only say that because cold storage isn't a big thing in China. So these beers were on a warm shelf, not super warm, but warm shelf. So not treated the best, but it still tastes great. And for, I'm saying tastes great. It tastes on point for Hell's Lager.
Yeah.
Which is impressive considering, you know, usually here you try to keep beers in the cooler. It's usually stored in a cold space before it goes out to stores for the most part.
Yeah. And as a Hell's fan, I'm happy with that. That's tasty.
How would you say it compares to, say, like a 311 Hell's Lager from Cole Harbour? It's been a while since I've had it, but...
I had one on Friday, and it... I'm going to say this is less traditional. Like, it doesn't... It has a little more pronounced flavor than I would expect out of a super traditional Hell's, but it's on profile. It hits its flavors. It doesn't, like, one doesn't jump out at you. They're nicely balanced. Yeah, I'd be happy if I were wanting a Hell's for the evening. I would take this up with no problems.
You know what, I'm looking at the label here, and I think this actually says it's from January 17th, 2018. If that is right, wow.
That held up really well then.
What do you think, Steve?
Let me see. That's certainly what that looks like to me.
I don't know what the 17th month is, so...
Yeah, so definitely January 17. Batch 1605-30.
That's really impressive then, because...
Yeah, that held up really, really well.
Especially for a lower flavor beer like a Hell's Lager. You wouldn't expect it to be this flavorful and...
No.
No off flavors.
No, if I got something that old from any brewery in a Hell's style, I would definitely be looking at it like, I'm not going to get anything out of this. But it's all there.
Yeah. And I mean, even if I had noticed that when I was in China, I still would have bought it because this is all I could find.
Fair enough. I mean, sometimes you get what you can get.
I got at that one little store I found, I did get a Taul beer, which is from Denmark, I think. It was old. Didn't taste that great, but it was still better than the macro lager I was drinking. And I did find two other Chinese craft beers there. They weren't bad. I tried those while I was in China, but this is interesting.
Yeah, like the malt is all there. It's got like a little barley sugar sweetness.
Maybe there'd be a little more bite, but a Hell's Lager shouldn't have much of a bite, anyways.
No, I'd probably be disappointed if it actually had a little more hop or a little more bite. That would probably just sort of throw the whole thing off.
Probably make me happier.
Yeah, there's that.
What does that matter, right?
Because screw you, Mike.
Exactly. And lagers are the devil. Wait, that doesn't sound right to me. It's a quicker sipper.
Yeah, this one definitely goes down a lot faster than than the last episodes. And I mean, the ABV on this was way low. It was what, 3.5?
4.5.
4.5.
It's not bad, though.
No, I mean, like... as if I were in the mode for just something light and quick and, you know, this would actually, you know, this would go along really well with mussels and fries.
I'll take your word for it. I do like fries.
Yeah, no, white wine sauce, mussels, little tarragon and sage or something, and nicely done fries. This would actually go really well. I'd be very happy with that.
I'd also like to point out, like, this is called Boxing Cat Brewery, and it's got, like, a cat logo with boxing gloves with his dukes up. But if you look closely between the word right hook on the label, it's got, like, a boxer swing in its right hand. It's got, like, the little wind motion on it and everything.
Yep. Funnily enough, I actually can read the characters for the name. That says right hook. It's not like they chose a different English name. That's the name.
Nice.
But yeah, the graphics on the label they're understated, but they're very nice.
And I mean, I'm sure it's not as understated if you can read the Chinese characters on it, because there is a lot of writing on there too.
Yeah, I mean, it's very text heavy, but I mean, I'm pretty happy with the design. Like, white on two-tone yellow background, the text doesn't jump out at you too much, so it's not overwhelming. There's an awful lot on there. I'd actually be curious to find out what the translation was. I'm sure most of it's just, you know, nutritional information and ingredients,
beer words,
all that sort of stuff. But I'm just kind of curious. There's a surprising amount of text there.
I just noticed, and I don't know if this is true, but the symbol looks to me like less than or equal to 4.5% alcohol.
Let me see that. Yeah, you're right. That is what that is. I mean, different standards for different countries. Ours is within a margin of error. I don't know what standard they actually have for labeling in China.
Me neither. I didn't ask that when I was there. And when it came down to it, trying to ask the tour guides about craft beer was kind of lost. They had never heard of it. They just knew yellow fizzy lagers.
I'm going to guess that is not a question that comes up a lot for them.
Not yet. I mean, there are some tour companies that go to China specifically for craft beer. It's more of a new thing. There's some people out of Vancouver, I think, actually, that do these tours. But it's definitely not what I went through. And we enjoyed our tour, but it wasn't a craft beer tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the only holidays I've gone on, really, where it wasn't craft beer, sort of almost first.
I know. I've seen the routes you planned. Those are not efficient routes. They're fun routes, but they're not efficient routes.
Efficiency. It's holidays.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends what you're going for.
Exactly.
Yeah, that drank pretty fast for me. That I mean, that's a nice Helles. I'll pound that.
Yeah. So the next one, still with that boxing theme, is the Contender Extra Pale Ale. This one is less than or equal to 4.9% alcohol. So when we look at the flavor wheels on the side, it's two-thirds body, sort of a third maltiness, third hops, and wow, that's... Wow, what would you say that is?
Let me see which one.
The aroma, the last one there.
Four-fifths?
There we go. Four-fifths. Fractions. What do you see in there?
Actually, really similar to the Helles. Maybe more yellow than orange on this one. Not maybe a touch of haze, but I'm not seeing much. How's yours?
Mine's a little hazier. I think I'm going to roll the next bottle just to make sure we blend in.
Because I'm definitely getting a slightly different glass than you.
Yeah.
Really coarse head. It's dissipating as I speak, but it's not like it vanished immediately. Very white.
And when you swirl it around, it leaves a tiny bit of lacing on the glass, actually.
Actually, yeah. Hey, it does. That's actually pretty nice.
A little bit floral.
A little bit. I'm actually going again with a fairly barn nose. Again, with hay, grass, a little dirt.
Yeah, it's kind of a hay grain kind of thing going on.
Yeah, a little raw grain.
Nothing's jumping out at me.
No, it's
let me see what this one's bottle date is. This is February 7th, 2018. So again, it's
pretty old.
Unfortunately, it's kind of old, but beggars can't be choosers when you're in China.
Well, I certainly wouldn't call that an extra India pale ale or anything.
Or extra pale ale. Yeah,
extra pale ale. That's...
It's not, again, the bottle's not super fresh, so who knows.
Fair enough.
But it's kind of lemony, citrusy.
like there is a hop character to that. And I mean, when I went to Japan, hop character, what we would consider a mild pale ale would be super hoppy for them. So, you know, take the local variation, and like for what we consider super hoppy is crazy in most of the rest of the world.
That is true, yeah. But it's got kind of that grainy thing going on.
It's actually really well balanced. Like I've got grain, I've got a little bit of sweet malt. There is a hop character there. I'm not,
yeah.
It's clearly had a good dose of hops.
Well, I mean, that lemony kind of citrusy thing is coming from the hops.
Exactly. Beer. Yeah, there's a lot of good.
It's kind of almost lemon drop or something.
Yeah. It's actually really nice. I'm not sure it quite lives up to its, and that's probably just, I'm from BC where we have crazy, crazy IPAs. And anywhere else, this would probably make a really solid extra IPA or extra pale ale,
yeah.
But that, I mean, my cultural baggage aside, this is actually really pleasant. I really like this.
And this one doesn't have a person punching a right hook. But beside the word contender, it's got two boxing gloves kind of raised to the sky. So, think they're going to win.
I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender. Yeah.
And instead of the yellow on yellow, this is the green on green color.
Yeah, the text pops a little more, but still not too much. It's still not overwhelming. Again, I really like the graphic design. It's despite all the text heavy nature of the label, it actually doesn't pop too much. It's actually really, really nice.
There's so much writing on these bottles, though. I wonder if there's like a story to this beer that we're missing out on.
Right. I mean, given what I know of the writing system, that's an awful lot of writing, unless there are like government mandated labels that need to be on there. Or, which, I mean, seems likely. But there's an awful lot going on there.
There's a lot more writing on these bottles by far than any of the macro lagers that I tried.
I mean,
And those bottles were mostly 650 milliliter bottles. And I forget what these cost. They're probably 15 won each, which is about $3 Canadian. The cheapest 650 milliliter of crappy lager was 4 won, or just under a dollar Canadian. Yeesh. The most I paid for a 650 milliliter bottle of cheap beer was 15 won, $3.
I mean, definitely know some people whose first language is some dialect of Chinese. I mean,
there's a bunch of dialects in China.
Yeah. So, I mean, depends on the person I take this to, which dialect I'm going to wind up with. But I mean, the writing system is all the same. So, if I steal all these bottles from you, I might see if I can get a translation from someone.
That'd be awesome. We could also throw Google Translate on it probably and get a terrible translation.
Oh, yeah.
But I've done that enough in China that I know it means nothing. But yeah, this is, I mean, it's not an extra pale ale to me, but I could definitely drink a couple of these.
Me too. And, the more I think about, more I try and get away from the fact that living here, this isn't an extra pale ale. From a lot of other places, this would be
possibly
hop forward.
I think to me, this reminds me of a slightly hop forward blonde ale or something here.
Yeah, that's about right for being in BC.
I have to say, I love their logo, though.
No, that's great. The actual boxing cat is the design on it's great. I love that it's silly, but it doesn't seem silly somehow.
Oh, it seems silly to me in the best possible way.
Right. I'm having trouble describing exactly. Like, it is a super serious expressioned cat with boxing gloves. Like, he's going to kick your ass.
I kind of feel that he's going to kick Wile E. Coyote's ass or something.
Yeah, that's it. There you go.
All right, for our third and final beer on this episode, we've got the TKO IPA, which is greater or less than or equal to 6.3% alcohol. I just love that. It's so weird. And it's got a person standing up on top of a fallen boxer. And it really looks to me like it's giving that person the finger, which is kind of funny.
You see that? No, that's, sorry, that's the ref counting.
Okay, because it looks like the finger.
Yeah, that's a one count.
Okay, it's the middle finger count.
All right. Yeah, that's actually a really nice dark honey amber. Or fairly clear, a little hazy. Again, good head.
We'll say this one actually is bottle date May 25th, 2018.
Hey, that's significantly newer than the other two. More refined head. The bubbles are finer. And again, good longevity. It's not just vanishing on me.
Let me pick it up here. And
even just a touch of lacing still. That's pretty good. Actually, that's quite a pretty beer. That's got a really nice color to it.
It's not quite citrusy, but it's got a decent sort of fruity hop aroma.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got almost like a sweet orange, sweet tangerine nose to it. With a bit of, if you've ever been to a brew shop when they've just ground somebody's order for grains, for malt, that's what I get, a good base of that.
Yeah. It's lemony, kind of orangey.
There's a little bit of, there's a good hop bitterness there that would make me think pale ale.
Yeah, it's more of a pale ale for us West Coasters here.
Right. That is an incredible amount of hop for a lot of the rest of the world, though.
And I will admit that, again, this is
this is from May.
Super new, so it could be the problem.
Yeah.
But beggars can't be choosers. We're trying something really different.
Yeah, no, that is again actually really pleasant. For regional differences, that probably falls right on profile.
I would be unhappy buying an IPA with this, but as long as I think of this as a pale ale in this format, I quite enjoy it.
Yeah, bearing in mind that it's not a North American IPA, I would be super happy with this. If I were just thinking about North American IPAs, yeah, I'd be kind of like, this doesn't have enough hops.
Yeah. But no, it's still got that little bit of bitterness. It's got kind of, I don't know, it's not really citrus rind or pith, but it's got a little something in the back.
Honestly, just a touch of juiciness.
Yeah.
Like there's a little bit there, and it does have a grain backbone. I feel the malt in there. Or it doesn't have a distinct flavor, but like there's an underlying sweetness is kind of the wrong word, but
no, there's some definite sweetness in there.
Yeah, but I think that's coming from like the citrusy hop. Probably.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of West Coast IPAs from a decade ago.
Yeah, that's about right.
You know, it was back then the beers were a little sweeter, and things have changed, but this is enjoyable.
Yeah, again, I would. Somebody put this in front of me and said pale ale, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah. So I guess why don't we tell everyone what our favorite of the three beers was?
I'm going with Right Hook Helles. The other two were very nice, but that one, honestly, we've been drinking some pretty big, bold, flavorful beers, and I needed something light that still had some good taste to it, and that satisfied me. That was right what I needed right now.
For me, even though it isn't a true IPA for me, I think the TKO IPA is doing it for me. It's got lots of good pale ale characteristics. I like the fruitiness. I like the little hops bite in the end. I could drink a lot of this, and I'd love to try it again fresh, or at least a lot more fresh.
Yep. But, I mean, craft beer has been having quite the heyday here in North America. It's certainly gotten its toeholds in a lot of European countries. I know in Asia there are some well-established craft breweries, but craft beer is not nearly as widespread in Asia. And this would be a solid toehold. This is a good way to get people trying something a little different. Trying something that's not super scary like some of the hot bombs that we have here, but try something a little different and get used to hop character, a little more malt character, try different things and, you know, see if it spreads.
I'd be interested to see what happens with the world in general if China really gets into craft beer, though. There's like 1.4 billion people there, and I know it's really changed the whiskey market. There's been so many changes to how whiskey is produced and aged to get China all the whiskey it wants, because they want a lot of it. So they're using different kind of aging techniques to make it taste similar a lot faster. Hey, now,
supply beer and
doesn't,
demand.
Yes, supply and demand, totally. Beer doesn't need to be aged like whiskey does for the most part. But I'd be interested to see both the Chinese beer market, which is growing quite fast, it sounds like. It's still in its infancy. But there are breweries from North America sending the beer there. There's breweries from Belgium, Europe. I'd be interested to see how fast craft beer can explode there, because they could be very thirsty very fast if they get the taste for it.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the fun things is that beer can be batch produced quickly, and or compared to whiskey. Like, whiskey needs aging time, needs all sorts of other things, and for export, you got to wait. I mean, beer, you can export pretty damn quick.
You want to do it quick, right? Let's put it this way. The population of North America is 1 billion less than China. There is a ton of people there. I mean, Boxing Cat Brewery is from Shanghai. Shanghai is a city of 25 million people. Canada is a population of about 36 million people. The scale is insane.
Yeah. Like, if it actually manages to gain enough popularity to really get the word out and get people interested, and if they're making something that there's a market for, there's a lot of potential here. I'm really curious to see what happens.
I actually really hope that through social media, Boxing Cat reaches out. I'd love to talk to them about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
see what they say. I'd love to have an open dialogue with them. So if you're listening to this, Boxing Cat, please touch base with us on social media.
We will work with, we'll either find a friend who knows your dialect, or if you want to go with by text, we certainly know people who can read Chinese.
Well, I'm guessing by the looking at the bottles here with the actual brewery called Boxing Cat Brewery, all in English, within Chinese characters below it, in a much smaller area. The brewers might be expats. They might not be from China originally, which is
could be.
A lot of brewers in China are from United States, from Germany. Like, they're coming from elsewhere and moving there. And there are breweries opening up now that are Chinese-run breweries, like Chinese people brewing. So I would assume, looking at this, this is probably not a Chinese-founded brewery, but they're making good beer.
Yeah, I certainly hope we hear from you guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy Pacific Beer Chat and would like to help make the show even better, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/pacificbeerchat, or click on our support tab on the website and check out our affiliate links. We can be found on all podcast apps, as well as hoppedupnetwork.com or pacificbeerchat.com. Leave us a review on iTunes to help raise our exposure and just get us more listeners. Drop us a line at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. And to play us out, here is Lothian by Conundrum by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
drift. All the possible outcomes I now gladly sacrifice. All of my marches through the dark, I found out so much then, so much more than I can't know. I wanted you so badly by my side. I cursed our time apart, the beginning of the end.